Apocalypse and Avocados.
Welcome back to Apocalypse and Avocados, where millennials kill industries for sport, Gen Z buries the evidence, and Gen Alpha's probably already plotting our cancellation. Buckle up, because we're putting capitalism, cable TV, and casual skinny jeans on trial. Guilty until proven iconic. I'm here with Peter and Carissa. I think Peter wants to take the lead on this first topic. Why don't we talk about some of the things that we've been blamed for ruining as millennials?
Oh, that's a really long list. I guess we can start with like the environment. I feel like that's a really good one to start with. First off, we didn't pollute the oceans. I mean, we definitely contributed to it, but that's also because our parents taught us how. But it came from boomers. Boomers sat here. That's why they call them the baby boomers. It's because they were here during the boom of industries in America, and especially on the Mississippi, they polluted it heavily because all the businesses that were there, all the factories and the mills, they would just dump their sewage, their runoff into the Mississippi. Like, that's one of the major things. So I want to just say, we live in the greenest state as far as energy. And it's still sometimes pretty fucking nasty, but it wasn't our fault. And I really think that Gen Z needs to pick up a fucking book or Google, because you know their fingers do the talking, and figure out who is actually at fault for it. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah, Carissa, do you have an opinion on this?
Honestly, I have no idea. The reason being is because I don't know anything about history and the environment. I know history, but I don't know anything about the environment and pollution and all that fun stuff. I sound like a fucking idiot talking about this right now, but, you know, I'm being honest.
No, I think that a lot of people don't necessarily have a history of, like, environmental practices and the way things have changed over time in our lifetimes. I think that we, to an extent, have an understanding of it because we've lived through it, but we don't necessarily know all the science behind it. We don't necessarily know, like you said, all of the stuff, like, you don't know why, you just know what's going on to the extent.
All I do know is that we have windmills now.
And they're really bad, according to our wonderful president.
Well, yeah. Exactly. That's why I know about the windmills.
This also coming from the asshole who thinks that sweeping up the forest is going to stop forest fires.
He also believes that America has been around since ancient Rome.
You know what I did learn about forest fires is that we actually have companies that are hired to go out and start forest fires just in order to prevent them. I just learned that.
Yeah, we watched a show, I think it's called Fire Country or something like that, and they talk about that. They're, what were they called? Some controlled burns or something?
Yes, that's exactly what it was, yeah.
What they do is they go and they scorch parts so that when there's a forest fire, it doesn't continue to burn. So it's already burned.
Right.
They build like a wall.
Hey, maybe that's what they need to do. Conservatives, we've got an idea for you.
A wall of fucking flamethrowers.
Build a wall of fire around yourselves.
Or the windmills.
Both. With the windmills on the outside, you on the inside of the fire, blowing the fire towards you. No, I'm just kidding. But
were you though?
No.
I think that people need to really educate themselves, especially when you sit here and you can absolutely deny climate change if you really, really want to. But the fact of the matter is our summers are ridiculously hot now. Our winters are extremely cold, not a lot of snow, which has been insane.
But they last 6 months.
Yeah, they last 6 months as opposed to three when we were kids. And you look around, forest fires are like a everyday occurrence, every year occurrence now, mainly because the temperature is on the rise. The barrier reef out in frigging Australia is dying because the temperature is too hot. It's killing the coral. Like, these are things that people, how can you blame one generation for this? These are things that have taken years and years, decades. We've only been, even at the elder millennial status, we're only four decades old. So you got to find somebody to blame, because we didn't fuck this all up by shitting when we were babies. And then all of a sudden the ocean's 10 feet fucking higher.
No, you're right. And it started before our generation, because it goes back decades and decades, even the whole thing with food, processed food. So in the 1970s, and this is scientific fact because I did read a study on this, in the 1970s, majority of the food was made with minimal amounts of sugar. And the reason being was, number one, sugar was expensive in the 70s, but then also people knew that it wasn't good for you. So they didn't want to put that in the food because they were, quote unquote, poisoning kids. And all of a sudden, 1975, 1976, they started increasing sugar in foods to save money.
But you know what's funny about that is it's around the same time that the whole thing about MSG being bad for you came out, which there's no scientific evidence that MSG is bad for you or that it causes headaches or any of the things that people were saying it caused. The increase in sugar and the decrease in the MSG, in my opinion, were the big industry's ways of taking control of the food industry. And like, you're taking MSG out of stuff. If MSG helps you to feel full, then you're going to eat more.
Right, exactly.
And if you're eating more sugar, sugar can be addicting.
Yes.
So you're going to keep eating. You're going to keep wanting more and more of that sweetness. You're going to get like numb to it eventually.
Yeah, but it also comes from the fact that if you think about it, what's America's number one crop? Corn.
Corn. Yeah.
Corn syrup.
So high fructose corn syrup is one of the biggest additives that's in our food because it's our biggest crop. So now you have to think about where pure sugar cane comes from. It's not grown in the U.S. It can't be grown here. It needs a tropical climate. It's imported. So why do you think that these things on the shelves, like these high sugar cereals and processed foods, are so cheap when it costs so much to eat healthy? It's because it only lines the pockets of the people in this country. If you're eating all the processed stuff, it's making them tons of money. So they're just going to keep filling it with the high fructose corn syrup, which is a byproduct of corn. And we're just going to continue to get sick. The actual sugar cane is not bad for you. And it's a raw sugar cane. You bite into a sugar cane piece, it is not bad for you. It's processed, bleached sugar, granulated sugar that comes over here that's killing us. And to be honest, that has to be super heated in these gigantic vats and then dried with all of this bleach and chemicals before it even comes in the little 5-pound Domino's bag that you get from the store so you can bake stuff with it. So now think about all those processes that it's gone through. But also think about before that, these people invented this bleaching process for their sugars. They've been doing this for decades. This has been around for 100 years already, this whole process. So all these factories that have been cleaning all of our flour and our salt and bleach and all that stuff, that has been happening for decades. That has been longer than 40 years than like the oldest millennials have been on this earth.
Right. So that's before our time, like you're saying.
Yeah. So all that pollution that's going into the skies, that's been going on for 100 plus years now in this country. We did not contribute. We contributed to it. We did not start it.
Exactly.
Well, you bring up a great point, and I think that there's a lot of blame that gets thrown around between different generations, and where every generation is looking for another generation to blame for the issues that they're dealing with or the changes that they saw go from good to worse. Like, I know your dad will bring up the good old days all the time, and a lot of the times when he brings it up, he's actually talking about days before he was even alive, or like days when he was young and things were cheaper. And I know he knows that things got more expensive. He's just saying, like, how did we get here from things that were cost this much and now suddenly the same exact thing costs so much more?
Right, exactly.
But
can I talk about like one product that you can blame us for that I absolutely hate?
Yes.
That reminds me of the video your mom sent the other day.
Yeah, I can't fucking stand Crocs. It looks like you're sticking your foot into an amoeba. And nobody needs to fucking see this. And then you have those dumbasses that are like, let's flip the back up so it's sports mode.
And please don't wear them in the fucking gym, even in sports mode, okay? Because they're not fucking safe. You can drop a weight on your foot and still break a toe.
they're not safe, and they're not safe to look at either. This is something I blame millennials for, and it should not continue. But you now have Gen Z with a 50 million fucking pairs of Crocs that are in every shade, color, have heels on them and stuff. What the fuck are you doing?
Speaking of that, I had someone recently show me a pair of the newest version of the Croc. Did you know it's like a loafer?
No.
Ew.
It looks like a boat shoe.
No. Just no.
I can't.
We started that fire. We will take full accountability for that. However, they are fanning the flames.
I do not take accountability for any of this. I have never worn Crocs. I never want to wear Crocs. Watch, I'm going to be an old person. I'm going to be in fucking Crocs.
People are always sitting there and they're like, oh, they're so comfortable. How do you not have a pair? Fashion is not supposed to be comfortable. Fashion's like sex. It's supposed to be uncomfortable, but it's supposed to look good. That's it.
I think that's just porn.
No. No.
Unless you're making porn in your bedroom, which...
I mean...
Croc porn.
Why not?
Croc porn.
Imagine those freaking feet pics that they're selling with the Crocs on. Like, how disgusting are you?
Now you're going to give someone an idea and they're going to be rich.
If they're not already
doing. Little tan spots.
Imagine, like, now it's going to be Pornhub's going to pop up and it's going to be just people in Crocs.
And you'll have yourself to blame for it.
Yeah. I'm just going to put blocks of Swiss cheese on myself and then go on OnlyFans.
Oh. I'm sure there's a market for that.
Yeah, there's a market for chubbies too, and I don't feel like bearing my fucking dough for the world to see. No thanks. I don't like looking at myself in the mirror naked, let alone putting it out on camera. We're not going to do that. However, at least of all in Crocs. But still, those are the ugliest fucking things on the face of this earth. And we actually did. We saw a video about this. These came from a movie where it was talking about how Americans were getting, like, dumber. And I can't remember. I know that...
Idiocracy is the name of it.
Yes, Idiocracy. Yes. Like, America's gotten dumbed down. Robots essentially run everything. They push a button and it does something for them. They don't know how to fix anything. The person, the director, is like, find me the world's ugliest shoe. I want it to be futuristic. And then he's like, okay, they find the shoe and they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to use these in here because they look so stupid and no one's ever going to wear them. They were fucking Crocs. What? Fucking Crocs.
2005, this came out, right?
Yeah, it's so before that. I mean, it was so before its time, but it was disgusting. They were wearing orange Crocs and now people are walking around like with these nasty things. I'm sorry. They really bother me.
You know what? Which ones really bother me? The white ones when they get dirty.
Oh, yeah.
And people still wear them.
And they're like gray.
Yeah.
It's like a chewed wad of gum.
You can see like the spaghetti sauce you dropped on it 6 weeks ago. That's disgusting.
Sounds specific.
Yes. Let's talk about a few things that need to be dead, buried. They should have been gone. I don't agree with Gen Z. I think skinny jeans can stick around, just not the skin tight ones that show like everything to the world. Nobody wants to see all of it.
The bulge.
Keep your bell end on the inside of your pants.
Why? You gotta test drive the car before you buy it, I guess.
I want to touch on this a little bit, Sean, because skinny jeans, I know that the skinny jeans became a thing, and then now all of a sudden Gen Z wants to wear baggy jeans. But have you noticed it's the baggy jeans we wore when we were teenagers?
Yep. Like the massive, like, JNCO jeans and stuff?
Yeah, big, wide-leg jeans that drag on the ground and they're torn up.
Those, I loved them when we were younger, but those were the worst fucking jeans ever. They made your shoes blue, they got ripped up, they became nasty. Well, at least for me, because I'm short, everything went under my fucking feet.
I had so many pairs of that.
Yeah, he did.
I loved them for like 2 years, and then I just couldn't wear them anymore because I hate when my pants go under my feet. It is the most annoying feeling. Okay, not the most annoying, but one of the most annoying feelings. I also hate the feeling of like a thin layer of snow crunching under my feet.
The skinny jeans I'm completely fine with. I used to wear them all the time when I was the size of a fetus. Now I'm not. It's just those are amazing. I don't think those should ever die out. What I have a problem with right now is the fucking leggings as pants.
Yeah, that was another thing I had in my roster of things to talk about here in this list.
Please don't wear them out of the house if you can see through them.
Just don't wear them out of the fucking house, period.
That's true.
Leggings are not pants. Let's just say it. They're not. They're not pants. And yoga pants are for yoga. They are not for, you know, going to the mall. or doing your errands for the day where we can all see your thong through them.
Or frog ass. Like, come on. You've seen more frog ass in the past few years than you ever needed to see in your life.
I see it in the gym every day.
Oh, that must smell.
And ever since girls started wearing leggings as pants, or like, I know that there are some that are thick and you don't see them or anything, but ever since that became a thing, the idea of what leggings were that could be worn as pants has like gone crazy. You guys remember when you're little kids and you have those pajamas and they're like, they're tapered in the leg and they're like black and they're so thin that you can see through them as you get bigger?
Yes, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Okay, so that's what some girls wear for leggings as pants. Like, you literally, you were saying, if you can see through them, sometimes you can see their skin. I was in hair school, and I remember there was one girl, and a lot of the girls wore leggings for pants, and I never thought anything of it. And then one day, this girl bent over to fix her shoe, and I could literally see her whole entire ass, her thong. And I'm not talking, like, just, like, I could see what it looked like. I could see the skin, everything. It was like she was wearing a pair of nylons, not even a pair of leggings.
You could see the holes.
Literally.
Gaping holes.
I don't know that she was into anal, so it probably wasn't gaping. But it's...
There are times, like, they're not pants. I'm sorry. And if you walk around, when you can tell if someone's wearing underwear or not, that's a fucking problem. Like, if you can see it, yeah, I get it. There are some bigger girls out there that wear them. But, like, if you bend over and we see all of your dignity, like, right there through your pants, that's not okay. They're not pants. Go home. Put something on. Something that preferably catches all of that perspiration that we can now see down your fucking sweaty crack.
Yes, please.
On that same topic, can we talk about the reduction in the length of shorts lately?
Oh my God.
And that goes for both male and female, non-binary, I don't care, whoever you are. I'm noticing this just as a general thing happening across humanity. The shorts are getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
Can we talk about the 5-inch inseam, please? It really perturbs me when guys are wearing those shorts because something is going to fall out. And I don't want to fucking see it. I'm just saying.
There's a person who works at one of the stores near us, and we saw him out in like real life the other day at another store.
Oh God.
And he was in shorts that were like, something is gonna fall out of there. You must have things like tucked away or something, because otherwise there's gonna be a little ball popping out to say peekaboo or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's appropriate because Gen Z's inseam is now the size of their attention span. 5 fucking seconds. It's gross. I don't know how they're doing this. I'm sorry. When I get like the slightest of breeze above my knees, the fucking shorts are too short. Lengthen those. I hate pants. Sorry. I hate pants. I feel like they're a torture device.
Listen, I'm a legs guy. I love legs, but sometimes I'm like, those shorts are a little short. Like,
a little bit, maybe
they could be a little bit longer.
It's a napkin at this point, just covering.
Basically.
Yeah. It's a one ply piece of toilet paper. Like, well, oh, that's so hot. How do you work out in that and not like have nettage? Just frog eye. Those who don't know what frog eye is, just saying. Gladly explain. That is when a man's pants are so tight that the seam right where you zip up your crotch is your balls are split on either side. So frog you eyes. Have like two round fucking bulges on the side. So it looks like frog eyes bulging out of the head.
Frog eyes.
And then just to expand on that for women, we have camel toe or moose knuckle.
Oh.
And you can definitely see that with the shorts nowadays.
Occasionally, there is mammoth knuckle.
What the fuck is mammoth knuckle? Do I even want to know? Why did I ask this?
I was just making it up.
I mean, Rasputia knuckle. Is that what it is?
Essentially. Why titties is beeping the hole?
All for body positivity, but I positively don't want to look at your body in those shorts. So please stop.
Right. Seriously. Wear things that are appropriate, okay?
Right. To the gym. Like, we sound like old people.
If we're not supposed to wear skinny jeans, then they shouldn't wear those shorts.
That's true. Very true.
And we saw it, like, the other day we were driving down. Somebody got out. It was in the next town over. We were driving, and it was a little girl got off the bus with her friend, and she was wearing, and she couldn't have been more than, like, 11. She's wearing a tank top that's, like, almost up to her bra. It's how short it was. And then she had those booty shorts on that couldn't have been more than, like, 3 inches on the inseam. And then they had, like, the frayed edges.
Yeah.
Like, it was torn. But she's walking down like that with full-on little spaghetti straps on the top here, and her boobs, like, hanging out. She couldn't have been more than 11. It was the most terrifying thing I've ever seen, because I'm like, if my daughter dressed like that, bitch ain't leaving the house ever again.
Seriously.
I remember when I was in school, girls would get in trouble for wearing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the same thing at our schools, too. And it's funny because nowadays they're allowed to wear things like that to school, and I don't understand what changed. Gen Z. Well,
yeah, that's a great segue, because, I mean, let's talk about this for a minute. We've had so many things just over the past, what, 4 generations before us, and then us, now Gen Z, Gen Alpha, that things have changed. Like, boomers, there was a good housing market. There was, you could go to college for a relatively reasonable cost. Now that's not something you can do. Like, Gen X, I feel like, dealt with a lot of bullshit. They got kind of a raw end of the deal there. And now there's us, and we're kind of losing everything too. We're losing having a family. We're losing, you know, buying houses. We're losing getting groceries. What are some things that need to be put back into our lives? And what are some things that need to go?
I don't know. I think one of the major things I can see is that we should not be working 5 days a week. We should be. Maybe if you really need to have an employee on for 40 hours, give them the 10 on, 3 days off. Like, right. 10 hours, 4 days a week, and then give them 3 days off so that they can recuperate and they're not fucking hating their lives. That's one thing I can see.
Yeah, I agree with that. 2 days off right now is just not enough. It goes by so quickly. And you spend at least, if not both, one of the days just doing errands or doing laundry or just getting prepared for the following week.
Mentally preparing yourself for the next day.
Right.
Also, I think that every state needs to have rent regulation.
Yes, rent control. I agree.
Because New York has it, and you have the same family in New York City. This is why you see it when you're watching those movies. And you see all these little New Yorkers out there that are living in these beautiful, massive apartments. It's because it's rent controlled. They have had that apartment for generations. Like, the rent has not changed since the 50s. So they've just been passing the apartment down generation after generation. And people live in the same areas. I always wondered how a family could live in such a nice apartment in downtown Manhattan. And now I know. It's because it's rent controlled, and it was probably passed down from a grandparent.
I never realized that that's how it was until you had told me. And then I think we only got into the conversation because we were watching Only Murders in the Building, and it came up in the show. And I had no idea. And I think that more things should be like that, because if that were the case, people would take more care, would take better care of the places that they're living in, right, if they had the chance to pass it down to their kids and know that their kids aren't going to be paying an arm and a leg to live there.
Right. I agree.
I think a big thing that needs to change, and it's just mainly about the stigmas of working. Right now, Gen Z doesn't want to work. And who can fucking blame them? They were around all of us, millennials, Xers, and frigging boomers, talking about how they're so tired and they hate doing their 9-to-5 and this is this and this has been fucked up and health insurance and all that stuff. They've heard us bitch about it their entire lives. So what incentive has that given them to actually go and work the job? I think that we need to start at home here and kind of fix what's going on with the work hours and the PTO and the whole paternity and maternity leave, and just honestly, socialized medicine would fix a lot of this, but
yeah,
you're kind of just praying for, like, it to rain in the desert at this point. It's those things I feel like need to change in this country before anything else is going to change. Like, we're not, we need these younger generations to go to work, to actually see a reason to go to work. Otherwise, they're just going to sit there and play games and fucking make ridiculous TikToks. Yeah.
Which that actually leads me to segue into another topic, social media. Millennials laid the foundation for social media. I mean, we started with MySpace, Friendster. The Vine, you guys remember Vine? Vine was essentially the original version of TikTok. You only had 3 seconds to make a video good, just so you guys know. You're lucky you get 3 minutes.
that's amazing. And what a lot of these Gen Zs don't realize about this is I believe there's only one major social media platform that was not created by a millennial.
Really?
Yeah, I believe it was Twitter. Maybe, I don't know. There was one major social media platform that wasn't created by a millennial, and it was a Xer.
Oh, it might be Twitter.
Sean, can you pull that up?
Yeah, I can find it. Give me 1 second.
That's basically interesting. We took over, we did all of these things. We made it feasible for you to make all this money on and just stay at home. And honestly, I'm sorry, I hate this word and I don't even know why they say it, the Riz. They're sitting there and just like staring at the camera like they're all sexy. By the way, can we just do like a little shout out to that? You all look the fucking same. There is no uniqueness. There's no diversity. You all look the same. You have the dead sheepdog hair and the frigging crazy eyebrows that look like they could fucking cut glass. And you all do the same look. And when you go and you buy clothes, you wear essentially the same thing. 15 fucking rings on your hand. And then you have the overalls with the one frigging strap off that looks like somebody fucked you up. And yeah. And then you all stand looking off like you're doing some sort of stoic look off into the distance. Like, and really, you're just looking down like the parkway or something.
Or at your neighbor who's staring at you to see what the fuck you're doing.
Right.
So, Facebook was created by millennials and late Gen Xers. Twitter, or X, and I'm assuming this is why it's called X now, was created by Gen X and Zennials. Instagram was millennials. Snapchat was millennials. YouTube was Gen X. LinkedIn was Gen X. Pinterest, millennials / Zennials. TikTok was not Gen Z. Gen Z had no involvement. Sorry, guys. It was, I can't say his name because I'm really bad with letter combinations, but he was born in 1983.
So he was a millennial.
Yep. And then Reddit and Tumblr were both by millennials as well. And those are considered the major social media platforms right now.
YouTube was Gen X, huh? I didn't know that.
Well, that makes sense as to why, like, so many older people like YouTube as much as they do.
That's true.
It was geared towards them.
Dad loves it.
And we need to stop saying old people because...
I said older.
He did say older.
They are older than me.
He's saying that because we're old.
I know.
We're so old. We're the same age as Taylor Swift, but we're so old.
I have back pain.
I have tennis elbow.
Yeah. I got tennis elbow too.
Our back pain comes from carrying the weight of your decision.
Yes, it does.
I mean, some generations would disagree. But
yeah. I don't care.
I think it's hysterical that we created a lot of these social media platforms and Gen Z's benefiting from it. I mean, kudos to you. I have to say this for figuring out how to make a shit ton of money on the apps we created.
Well, you have to wonder, is it our fault that so many Gen Z are like, I'm baby, take care of me?
No.
No, definitely
because,
not.
I mean,
I think that comes down to gentle parenting, to be honest.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I could see that. I can see that.
Like, you got these parents that are sitting here, no, use your words. When we were growing up, you used your fucking fist.
That's right.
And I'm not promoting violence or anything like that. I just, we're growing up in a Latino household. Like, your ass was whooped. If
that
you
chancla was coming up.
Yeah, the chancla was coming out. It was serious business. If you did something, you were disciplined. You're not, oh, you need to tell them how you feel. Save therapy for when they're older, okay? Because that's bullshit. You need to sit your child down and you need to tell them that what they did was wrong, and you need to show them that there are consequences for their action, not taking away their fucking screen, because I'm sorry, they can find another fucking screen. That's it. But today, just good example. Sorry, I know I'm ranting.
No, that's what this is for. We're supposed to be doing.
Keep going.
Good example is today, like, we went to breakfast, and we were all walking in, and Sean and my mom and dad and everyone had walked in except for Carissa. And I was holding the door because there was a mother, or I don't know, fucking, she could have been a mother.
Mother, grandmother, I don't know, one of the two.
Walking out with the kid, and I was just being nice, holding the door, and she just walks out, walks past me like I'm the fucking help, just holding the door for her. It doesn't even say thank you. Like, some consideration would be nice. I don't need a fucking tip, bitch.
Just say, thank you.
Yeah, just say thank you, because I didn't need to hold the door. I could have sat there and pressed my fat ass up against the door, and you would have been stuck in the fucking restaurant, bitch. But she didn't say thank you or anything. But this shit starts at home. Yeah. This starts at home. Your kids are rude because you didn't tell them that they were rude.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, my dad always taught me that if there was a woman come, or if there was someone coming behind me, you hold the door open for them. Like, that's just what you do. That's courtesy. And if someone does that for you, you say thank you. So I find myself,
or push them.
Oh, that's another option. I find myself doing that regularly. But when people don't do it when I offer the same courtesy, I do sometimes get frustrated. And, like, I've been known to every now and then say yes, yell, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Right.
Consideration, manners. We all have manners in our generation. For the most part, we have manners. And that comes from the parent, our parents telling us, say please and thank you, or be courteous to the people around you. Because when we were growing up, it was a small world still. We didn't have all these social media platforms until we were like 10, 11 years old. And who you knew was in your small group. Like, you were in a bubble. You had your friends that probably live like a couple streets away. And it's not like now. You have this massive social network that's spanned all across the globe, and you have 3 million people judging you on the one picture you put up. It was a small group. It was tight-knit. So you had to be courteous, because otherwise the parent down the street is like, oh, that kid's a fucking dick.
And they're going to come talk to your dad or your mom.
I know where you live. That's where it came from.
Right.
That's a really great point that you bring up, because I know that there's a lot of debate around things like bullying and the way kids are with each other. And to an extent, I agree. I do think that that's how kids are. I think kids are naturally going to be somewhat, I don't want to say mean, but like, they're going to do kid stuff to an extent. But like you were saying, with this social media, this reach, it's gone to a new level, and people feel different on social media, and they feel like they can do and say things that they wouldn't normally do or say in real life.
Because they're not going to see that person in real life. That's why.
Right.
Exactly. But nowadays with school, like, so let's just talk school when we were in school. When we were in school, most of our friends probably lived pretty close to us, at least the ones that we saw on a regular basis, the ones who would have our backs or we might get into fights with. So everything was right there. You didn't have to deal with other people getting involved too often. Now, anything happens, you could happen with someone two states away and the whole freaking country's involved. The whole world's involved, depending on who you are.
Right.
It's no one was ever spent, no one was ever supposed to be looked at and interacted with on that big of a level and then have to take that to like who they are and build a character off of it. That's not how it's supposed to be.
And just to like add on to that, I know that people talk about cyberbullying and that these kids are just going to be hateful no matter what. It's just kids being kids. Hate is a learned behavior. Yes. It is a product of their environment. It might not necessarily be your parents or anything, but it is a learned behavior. Kids, you see kids growing up, and they may not even speak the same language, not the same color and everything, but they go and they play with each other and they have a good time. It's not until later that somebody is like, oh, that's wrong. This person does that. The stereotypes come to play. You mold that child to hate. They do not have hate in their heart when they are little. Right. So you need to be buck up, be better. friends, companions, parents, and teach your kids this gentle parenting bullshit because it honestly does you no good.
No, because eventually your kids are going to grow up and they're not going to be independent. They're not going to have a fucking clue how to go out and fend for themselves and get a job or do an interview for that matter. They're making money off the internet. Who had an interview for that?
All of the engineers, software engineers that built the platform.
That built the platform, right. Exactly. Millennials.
Yeah.
So it's, and if thinking about it, like you, they're not even going to know how to go to a doctor's appointment and address any of their issues, or even for that matter, make the appointment. They're just too timid and fragile, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say. With the gentle parenting.
With the gentle parenting that it's, they're never going to be able to fend for themselves. And then what? We leave the world to a generation that doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, and they walk all over you too. Like Gen Zs walk all over their friends, family, everything. They are the most manipulative fucking people.
Yes. Can I say that I think that's part of, so I think that the Gen Zs that have an issue with millennials, the issue that they actually have is that we don't allow them to walk all over us. Like, no fucking way, bitch. I had to do the same shit you had to do. You're no different than me. I'm not giving you any breaks that I didn't get. And I'm not saying that to be an asshole. If there's something I can make your life a little easier, sure. But you don't just get to have everything you want handed to you because you want it. I know that's what we were told as kids, but listen to one of the previous episodes. It was a lie, honey. It's not happening.
Well, that brings me into, you know, sports. Remember when we were kids and we played sports?
Everyone was supposed to get into sports.
And the only way that you got a trophy was if your team won.
Yep.
Yeah.
You had to have the discipline, number one, to show up to practices, because if you didn't show up to practices, you weren't going to play. Mm-hmm. Number two, you had to show up to the games and you played your hardest and you got along with your teammates and you learned how to work together with other people. And that built you for the future. And now they give kids fucking participation trophies. Why? Yeah. What sense does that make?
Yeah.
Because it gives them no incentive to work hard.
Yeah, to be better.
Yeah.
They need to learn from a young age that disappointment is part of life. It is. You're not always going to get the trophy. You're not always going to get the job. There might be somebody who's better than you at whatever you think you're the greatest at. You need to know that stuff because it pushes you to do more.
Exactly.
To be better.
Right.
I think that aspect, that lesson can be taken into so many different aspects of life. Like, that can be taken into dating, can be taken into interviewing for a job. You're not always going to be everyone's cup of tea. You're not always going to, you may really like someone and they may not like you back, but understanding that you just need to be like better as a person, not necessarily that you're doing something that wrong. You just need to find a person who appreciates you for you, but also you still need to be a good person. You can't just be an asshole.
Right.
I feel like 95% of the world thinks that I'm an asshole. I know I'm.
You are.
I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and that's fine. I'm very few people's cup of tea.
I am very direct.
I'm very bitter at times, but that's just my personality. I am actually warm and fuzzy when you get to know me, but
he's a gummy bear.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. But if you're in my close friend group, I am. And you know that. So, but it pushes me to try and get out of my friend zone, out of my comfort zone, make myself a better person. Not necessarily if you hate me. I really just don't give a fuck. It's to strive to be a better version of me. That I take your discomfort as not as criticism, but as a motivation to be a better version of myself. Sometimes that goes right in the fucking deep end. And I'm like, you're being an asshole. So let me be a better asshole than you. But I think that comes back to like the trophies and stuff too. Like you need to give them some incentive to do better, to try and learn something, to become more independent.
I blame that on the parents, like you were saying before. It's because the whole idea of the participation trophy came from a parent who was upset because their child was sad that their team didn't win and they didn't get a trophy. And it's like,
that's literally part of sports.
That's part of sports. I mean, all the trophies that I earned for softball was because I worked my ass off. I went to every practice. I went to every game. And we, you know, we won because we worked hard.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember getting trophies for, like, basketball and stuff. But, like, they were participation trophies, I guess, because now I think about it, we weren't, like, this. Most of the teams I was on didn't really win. But I feel like the difference was there was a significant, like, there was a visible difference in a team who did really well and what any other team would have gotten. It was like, oh, hey, thanks for coming to your games, whatever. Great job. But then, like, if you actually did win a lot of games, your trophy was, like, massive. Like,
everybody
wanted the bigger phallic object.
Yes.
Because, like, I have a few trophies or had when I was younger. And, like, I'm trying to think to myself, like, how did I end up with those? I guess they were participation, but.
But it's true because, well, essentially what they were doing was this team placed first, so they get the big, beautiful, fancy trophy. Your team came in last, so you got the little dinky trophy, but you got something to go home with.
They're, like, trying to incentivize you by saying, yeah, you got something, but it could have been better.
Exactly.
We have a random side note on that. Why are the majority of American sports, world sports, whatever, why do they all, like, revolve around balls?
Everyone loves balls.
I knew he was going there.
Well, they do. Like, why?
What about cavemen? They were kicking around sticks and rocks.
They were kicking around heads.
I know. Maybe we should get a boomer on to ask because they're from, like, when sports were invented. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Good idea. Let's call dad.
Everything comes down to a variation of balls.
Except for hockey.
Except for hockey. Hockey's a puck.
Yeah. Yeah, I said
again, sticks and rocks.
I said the majority. Like pickleball. It's a ball.
Why do they call it pickleball?
I don't know.
Well, actually, not all hockey, because isn't field hockey a ball?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Wait, Sean, why do they call pickleball? Do you know?
I don't know. I can look it up.
Yes, I want to know. Now I'm curious.
Well, too many crotch shots. What the
too many crotch shots, yeah.
Pickleball.
It's pickleball now.
I don't understand it. I really don't. Isn't it essentially like ping pong with a...
with a tennis racket, yeah. And on a tennis court.
Why are we chasing balls?
Oh, my.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Did you find it?
Yes. Pickleball is called pickleball because of a funny little family story from when it was invented in 1965. Well, that's not a very old sport. There are two main theories. Okay. How are you going to tell me that it's called that because of a funny family story and then tell me that there's two main theories? Something doesn't add up here.
Two families hitting each other in the pickles.
I'll read. Okay. The dog theory, most popular. The inventors, Joel Pritchard, Bill Bell, and Barney McCollum, were playing with their families in Bainbridge Island, Washington, and their dog named Pickles. Story goes that Pickles would chase after the stray balls and run off with them. Oh, they started calling it Pickles Ball, which eventually became Pickleball.
Sorry, Peter. Just making a comment about everyone chasing balls.
Everyone loves balls, I told you.
Not according to Martin. Go listen.
Well, not when they're vinegary.
Well, pickles are vinegary.
So the boat theory, again, also told by the Pritchard family. Joan Pritchard, Joel's wife, said she named it after the term pickle boat, a crew term for a boat made up of leftover rowers from different teams. Since they cobbled together the game from different sports like badminton, ping pong, and tennis, she thought pickleball was a fitting name.
She sounds like a liar. She had too much FOMO.
I think that's the wrong theory.
I was just going to say that. She sounds like she's taking a little too much credit for this. Which one is true?
Fuck Joan.
It would have been more funny if it was like they were playing tennis one day and then someone decided, oh, we're going to throw a pickle just to be funny. And then someone swatted it. It was like, yeah, pickleball.
I mean, it's cute, the dog story. I don't buy the boat story.
She sounds like a whore.
It's still debated. Some say the dog story was made up later because it sounded cuter, while others swear it was about Pickles the dog from the start. For what it's worth, Pickles the dog definitely existed, but some reports say he showed up a couple years after the game was created.
Interesting.
So, listeners, if you can get to the bottom of this mystery, please inform us of how Pickleball was named.
Who started the pick?
Yeah, I really want to know how.
Who started pickling balls?
And then the other thing that I find odd is, like you said, 1965. It's not that old of a sport. Why the fuck are we hearing about it now? Like, it's a big thing now.
Yeah.
So I saw a TikTok about it. A woman was saying how essentially, and this, I'm going to sound fucking crazy when I say this, it was being gatekept by white people.
What?
Yeah. So apparently mostly white people knew about this sport.
It's like cornhole.
Like, I'm assuming that this, based on their names, they sound like they were white.
After.
So apparently that's how it caught on. It was created by a family or whatever. And so not all that many people knew about it. And they only really spread it amongst rich white people.
Gotcha.
It sound like a disease.
I mean, kind of sounds like one. Pickleball.
This is a good segue. How about we talk about cornhole?
God, cornhole.
Your cousin loves cornhole.
Yeah, he does, but it's a disgusting name. Why is it cornhole? Did they throw corn husks and shit? Like, that was the original beanbag?
Sean's looking it up now.
It's gross. Either way, cornhole is your asshole.
But I will say this, okay? We don't play cornhole with a ball.
No, they're little sacks. We play with the sack.
I should have known you were going to go there.
The sack of corn.
You're going to be, I don't know if you're going to be disappointed or happy about this. Cornhole gets its name pretty literally. Originally, the game was played by tossing small bags filled with dried corn kernels into a hole cut into a wooden board. Corn plus hole. Corn
asshole. Why are we throwing corn in the asshole?
Would you like to know where it started?
Idaho.
The game itself has roots going way back.
Nebraska.
Some trace versions of it to 14th century Germany, while others believe it evolved from indigenous games in North America.
I was going to say the Mayans.
But the name cornhole became really popular in the Midwest, especially around Cincinnati.
Ohio.
In the 20th century.
What in the Caucasity?
Where it was casual backyard and tailgate staple.
Like, you guys got MGK and you're throwing around fucking corn bags. I'm sorry. It makes sense. It would have made more sense if it was like in Nebraska or something where they have these giant cornfields. But it does make sense that it would be in Ohio. They don't have anything else.
So Machine Gun Kelly's from Ohio?
From Cincinnati.
Didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he always talks about it too. And like, if you watch his interviews, he talks about growing up there.
I like to hear him speak because he's very open about his life and he seems very humble.
He seems very educated when he speaks.
Yeah.
It doesn't like,
I love that when a celebrity sounds educated. When they sound like they know what they're talking about, I should say. You don't have to necessarily speak a certain way for me to want to hear what you have to say. But if you are speaking in a way that, I don't know, it draws me in. It sounds like you have passion about what you're talking about and actually know stuff about what you're talking about. And you can direct me to how I can find out more about it. Then, yeah, I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I agree.
Check out deep there for a second.
Sorry.
That's all I have to say.
Just bring it
right
back to cornhole. Right back.
You can't do that to me because I can go on forever about that. Such a gross name. Oh my God.
That goes along with your favorite word, moist.
The only time you should hear the word moist is when you have a devil's food cake or a black horse cake.
Devil's food cake is so good.
Would you guys like to know a few things that we've been blamed for killing that I was shocked to find out?
We were blamed for killing something? What did we kill?
Motorcycles.
What? Motorcycles kill people.
Bar soap.
Wait. Okay.
Department stores.
We have bars of soap in this house.
Marriage.
How do we kill department stores?
Homeownership.
No. Rewind.
Wait. Let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep going, but I want to go ahead.
How the fuck did we kill department stores? They started dying out before we even, like when we were growing up.
I'm just telling you, these are the some of the top things we've been blamed for killing.
The mall started fading when we were... What, teenagers?
They started fading when I worked in the mall. So I'm not really sure how I killed it.
Same.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't seem logical.
Speaking of department stores, I love them. I'd rather go in a store and touch an item and take it home with me that day than order it online, just saying.
So I go back and forth on that. Like, I absolutely love being able to just order something online and have it show up a couple days later. But at the same time, like when I needed this brace for my elbow, I did not want to wait. It was going to come in the next day from Amazon. I said, fuck this. I'm going to CVS.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to wait. You need the item or you need to touch it like I do. Just say.
I get the instant gratification. Believe me, I do. I love when you go out Black Friday shopping and you have that little old woman that she just wants to get that last thing on the shelf and you get it and you run to the register and check out. You're like, she's going to ask like an employee, can you help me go get this? It doesn't even have to be an old woman. It can be a kid. That's great. Can you help me get this? And then you run, you take it.
Meanwhile, Peter's climbing the shelf and he's going, bye, bitch.
It has to be specific. I'm not doing it just to be a dick. It has to be, I need it. You don't.
Peter's that person on Black Friday that he's fighting the some one person's on one end of the box, he's on the other. They're like pulling it back and forth, and he like shoves it into their chest to knock them down and then runs away.
No, grab the nearby CDs and start chucking them.
That's another thing that's kind of dying. Have you noticed that? Black Friday sales are now like online. And then
because
Black Friday
used killed
to be
the department stores.
Well, we killed the department stores. But Black Friday used to be a one-day deal, and now it's like Black Friday sales start 3 weeks before Thanksgiving.
So I have a like not insight, but like theory on that. Like I remember when I worked at the mall and stuff, and Black Friday was still a big thing. But the funny thing about Black Friday is that it really wasn't like a mall thing before. It was only department stores for a while, and then. True. The malls tried to get in on it. And then the online retailers' response to that was Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
But all the retail stores started doing was extending their Black Friday sales. And now they're like a whole month long.
Yeah, that's a good theory. That makes sense.
Can I just say that millennials work at Amazon? They did not invent Amazon.
Right.
So yeah. We didn't kill the department store.
That's right.
Well.
And some of us still like to shop in the store.
Here for the last item.
On the shelf that old lady wants as well.
Yeah, he wants the hockey checker for it.
I would never break her hip more than once. No, it has to be a specific item to even get satisfaction out of it. You can't just like grab it to grab it.
Remember when PS5s came out?
I would curb check somebody for that.
I would have curb checked somebody for that. I had to wait a whole fucking 2 years to get a PS5 because of that whole thing. Because
of COVID. Everything was freaking locked down. And then, you know, everybody had nothing to do. They bought all of the gaming systems. So basically everybody else was just masturbating for years. To the free fucking porn that's on the internet.
I feel like that's what we used to do.
OnlyFans at that time because we were getting the stimulus
checks. Oh, the stimulus checks. That's right. And the unemployment.
Yeah.
Didn't really stimulate anything.
Wonder how much money the OnlyFans people made during that time. They probably killed it. They killed it.
Yeah. They killed department stores.
Yeah.
They killed department stores. That's it.
They were talking about implementing taxes on them, not having them be 1099s or something, right? Mm-hmm. At one point, because they were making so much money.
Really?
Yeah. And then one, it was a celebrity, I think it was Bella Thorne, did something and she made so much money so quickly that they had to put limits on how much the creators could actually
earn. No, they tried to.
Oh, they tried to.
They tried to put a cap on how much they could make. She made $1 million in a day.
No way.
Yeah, because she was a celebrity. She's an actress. So everybody apparently wants to see a redheaded stick bug. Naked.
They think they're exotic.
She's not even a real redhead.
I was just going off what you said.
Most exotic thing about her is where she got her hair done.
Do you not remember saying this, that I thought they were exotic a couple episodes ago?
I mean, we have cousins that think they're exotic. I love redheads, like for friends and stuff, but like your hair scares me.
There's a really attractive redhead that works at the dispensary.
Why?
Yeah, attractive? Didn't you? I think you guys told me about this.
Yeah, it's the one I said I think Peter would find really hot.
Yeah, this is the one that you said was exotic.
No, he's not exotic looking. Oh. He's obvious. Well, most of the time a redhead is white. He's very white, but he's like a rocker guy, which I could see Peter liking.
Oh, yeah.
He's, he's got like tons of tattoos, and then he's got the like short, clean facial hair. He's a little taller than me. Yeah, I just he looks like the kind of guy Peter would like. He's a very good looking guy, very nice.
I mean, my type when it comes to rocker guys, I love rocker guys. But when it comes to them, I want them to look like almost dirty. I hate this clean cut bullshit.
Almost dirty.
No, like you look at them and you're like, oh, not bummy. They have to have really good style. But you want to be like, do they stink? But do they stink? They're really hot. They're a little unkempt. But do they smell? And then you get to them and they smell so good. But, like, that's it. Like, I'm not talking about the must. That smells disgusting, but
no, but I know what you mean.
Is it or isn't it? Like, is he gonna be? He's grungy. Like, he kind of has that greasy hair. But you're like, does he?
But he actually showers every day.
Yeah, it was because he showered every day. Active oily scalp. Anyway, that was my thought. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, so going back to what we killed. What else did we kill besides department stores?
Marriage, homeownership, and napkins.
Marriage, I'll say yes and no on that.
I don't think we killed marriage. I think that we killed.
Yes, we did. Especially the LGBT community. Just saying.
Why? We have a divorce rate.
Yeah. If we get married. If. Okay. 37 here. Single, not married.
This sounds like a personal issue.
I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe I'm the grungy person that stinks.
I mean, Martin was asking about vinegar.
Maybe you're the drama.
I'm the drama on the dating app.
Am I the drama?
Chris is fucking shanking car wheels. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't agree with that. I don't think that we killed marriage. I think we killed the
tradition.
Yeah.
Traditional tradition.
Traditional marriage, yes.
Yeah. I can the stereotype of marriage. Marriage I feel like as millennials, we've tried to normalize like partnerships more so than the traditional marriage where it's thought of with there's the male and female like gender roles of taking care of the cooking and cleaning and going to work and stuff like that. I feel like our generation has been really adamant about kind of knocking those things down and saying that, hey, if the woman wants to go and make more money, then she can go and make more money.
Yeah, I think you're right about that for sure. Definitely. And I know that there are some same-sex relationships where there's one person that stays at home and the other one works and they're perfectly fine with it. Like it just works for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both work from home, Ron and I, and we used to work at the same company and we would tell people, yeah, we both work from home. We work for the same company. And they're like, how do you fucking stand each other? Like, how do you do that? And I'm like, because we work from different rooms.
We've literally spent like every waking moment together for the past
12 years.
We weren't living together that whole time. But once we started living together, and I think 2019, we essentially didn't have any time apart from each other when we worked from the office for a little while then. But once we started working from home in the end of that year, we've been with each other always.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know.
So how do you fucking stand each other?
I don't know. It's weird because we still always have stuff to talk about. Like,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's being in together with somebody for so long, it's you stand each other by talking. I'm not saying that you can't let things fester. You have to talk about them. And I know that a lot of people have issues talking about things. I'm one of them.
Same.
But you have to talk about them and you have to get into little fights all the time. Because if you get those out of your system, then it doesn't blow up. Like you don't internalize everything. And then you have this massive blowout where it's like, I hate you. We're going to break up.
I think that's part of why we don't have that many like big fights or issues like that, and that we can spend so much time together, is that if something slightly annoys us and we want to be a little snarky, we do it, but in like a nice way. If I'm being a bitch, he'll let me know that I'm being a bitch.
He says nice way. Well, beg to differ.
I mean, to me, it's a nice way because we're being like, no, we're just like joking with each other. But I know how it seems to other people on the outside. It sounds like we're fighting.
No, you've been around for 12 years now. So when I see you get a little like snippy with Peter, I'm like, ooh, where's this going?
It's at his own peril.
Because I want to see who's going to throw the lowest blow here because they go tit for tat and it's great.
Well, it's like when your cousin came to visit that time. Well, your cousin and her husband. And we got the little like back and forth tiff in the car, but we were just joking. They're like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. They were so nervous. And I was like, this is like a literally normal thing.
It's a conversation for us. A lot of people were scared when they first meet us that think that we're fighting and we're not. But yeah. It's all about understanding that you aren't going to agree on everything and you don't. And I repeat this, you do not need to like everything the other person in the relationship likes.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes.
Do not force somebody in the that doesn't like to do something in the opposite side of the relationship to go do something. They're going to resent you for it. They might be missing out on something that's going on in their life so that they can make you happy. That's not a relationship. That's a one-sided like conversation, and you need to understand, and this is the biggest thing that people, you can't have successful relationships because you can't comprehend that the other person does not need to be there all the time. They do not need to like sports. If you like sports, they don't mm-hmm. need to like you going out for a drive. They don't need to go out and hang out at a bar. They're perfectly okay with having separate things in your life. You need to spend some time away from your significant other or have different hobbies than your significant other and let that be.
Yeah, don't look at Peter and I as the example.
We have separate things that we like. For instance, Sean likes Drag Race.
I'm obsessed. I watched so many iterations of it. And Peter used to watch some of them with me, but as they became more and more, I realized it wasn't something that he was enjoying. So we watch certain ones together, and I watch the others on my own. And if I catch something that I think he's really going to enjoy, I'll tell him. He'll try it for an episode. If he likes it, we'll keep watching it. Otherwise, I'll finish it myself.
Anime is a big one for me.
Yeah.
I like anime. Not like I'm going to go out and do cosplay or anything.
Hentai.
That's porn.
I had to say it. That's the only thing I know about anime.
I thought manga was porn.
Manga,
that's what it is.
No, hentai is like the actual
porn
videos. Manga is like the comic, the graphic comic.
Oh, this just means it's graphic, not.
But anyway, like I like anime and Sean doesn't necessarily like anime, but I've watched some anime. Well, I didn't make him. I was watching it and he's like, this looks interesting. And he sat down and watched it. But it's not like I'm going to go be like, you need to watch this. You need to sit down and watch this. And we need to have time together. We can have time together doing things that we enjoy. And that's a big thing in a relationship. You guys need to find things that you enjoy together and realize that it's okay to not have to enjoy certain things together. Like you don't need to go to someone's event because you guys are together. There's no reason that you have to show your face at another event if you don't physically want to go. You're going to cause resentment. You're going to cause animosity in your relationship and you're going to cause waves.
At the same time, I don't want it to sound like we're saying don't do these things for your significant other. If your significant other is a supportive person and you have that like relationship where they're doing things for you too, it's not just a give on your end, then absolutely give sometimes too, because it should be a two-way street and it should be appreciated. But like Peter's saying, you don't have to be at every single thing. Sometimes it's okay to take a break, to take some you time. Everyone needs that from time to time.
Self-care.
Yeah. Exactly. Go get your vagina steamed or your asshole.
Or you realize the word compromise. That's a big one you got to learn.
Compromise. That is a huge thing in a relationship is compromise for sure.
Yeah, like I went to your cousin's birthday party last time. You have to come to my parents' cookout this time. Like, just switch off. Make it fair. A relationship is 50-50. Unless you're in a polyamorous relationship, then it's what?
33-33-33.
Exactly. Yeah, however many you are. But yeah, you just got to You got to work on those things. That's the key to staying together for 12 plus years.
So you guys basically are saying you didn't ruin the whole thing about marriage or stigma there is about marriage, essentially.
We just defined how marriage should work for us.
Yeah, I think that's more in line with what it is. And I think that we have to also give a little bit of credit to Gen Z for the fact that millennials have decided that we are putting our foot down with certain things. And we're saying, you know what, this is we're the new generation. We're going to start to make some norms here, because that's one thing they're good about is setting boundaries and being like, no, I'm not doing it. And
it's not a boundary.
That is a boundary.
No, I mean, it is, but theirs are not boundaries. It's just because they're lazy.
Okay, yeah, he went sometimes. There. But I guess I'm just saying, like, they were so outspoken that it gave us the like, drive to be like, you know what? If they're going to fucking say it, we're going to say it too.
Right.
We're not going to keep quiet about this anymore.
Can I talk about one thing that Gen Zs have killed? Like, we might have overused it and killed it, but they have absolutely buried it. The fucking heart hands.
God, yes.
I can't do their new heart hands. It's confusing.
It's heart fucking fingers. It's ridiculous.
It's fingers.
Finger licking good.
It's index to index, middle to middle.
I wish you guys could see us right now, because we're all trying to do it and it makes no fucking sense.
It's like this, Carissa. It's index to index and middle to middle.
I have too much arthritis for those.
I feel like my fingers have gone numb.
My fingers are stuck.
It's still stupid. Like, why? Why? Why did you need to do it?
They just do that.
No.
The heart hands. That's exactly what that is.
Can't we just do this?
Can you imagine? It's heart hands.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Taylor Swift started doing the gimpy finger thing?
Yeah, that would be weird.
Like, she's known for heart hands, and everybody at her concert does the heart hands.
And just so you know, Gen Z, if you go into your phone and your emojis, it's heart hands.
Yeah.
It's not fingers.
The fucking fingers are just, it's weird. It looks like that thing from Pan's Labyrinth with the eyes and the hands.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's just what it reminds me of.
That was one of my favorite characters, too. You just ruined it for me.
Do you guys know that Gen Z canceled an emoji?
What?
The gun.
Really?
No, the laughing crying face.
Uh-uh.
Because they have no soul, so they don't laugh.
It's been canceled. It's supposed to just be the skull now.
I don't like it.
Because apparently we used it too much.
But that's the only one I like.
I like that one and the one that's like rolling on its head. It's like,
I like the little melting one.
I love the melting one. Melting one is fun.
I don't get it. Why we use it too much, so therefore you can't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Okay. You know what that reminds me of? Oh, what did we call them when? Hipsters. Mm. Fucking hipsters.
Yeah, we had that, but we didn't stop doing it because they were hipsters. Like, I'm sorry. If this is the case, like, we used it too much, and so therefore you can't do it anymore, let's talk about lubricant. I'm just saying.
We use a lot of lubricant.
Yeah, we all use a lot of lubricant, and millennials have way more sex than Gen Z. You can't use it anymore, okay? You have to raw dog that shit and dry and like sandpaper against the lubricating vagina.
No. You guys remember that? Yeah. You guys remember that oil. YouTube video? Or I don't know if it was on YouTube. How dry do you want?
Oh, you're talking about...
I think she's a famous actress now.
Eliza Schlesinger.
It was when she, like, before she was a big actress, she did a comedy skit video online, and she was getting ready to give her, saying she was getting ready to give her boyfriend a blowjob, and she's like, how dry do you want it? And he's like, what? Yeah, how dry do you want it? She's taking paper towels and, like, drying her tongue and asking if he wants it, like, sandpaper.
That's gross.
I'll try and find it and post it on social media.
Sound aggressive. Anyway, this has been a exhilarating conversation, and I hope to carry on in the future. But for now, we need to wrap things up for tonight. Don't forget to follow, share, subscribe. We really want to hear from you. Anything that you can give us, feedback, comment, like, whatever. We are working on videos, so you will see us on YouTube very shortly. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties and we couldn't get them up in time for you guys, but they are coming. Is there anything else you guys want to add?
We started sharing pictures of us on Instagram and Facebook, was it?
Yeah, and Snapchat. And if you guys want to see more pictures and videos of us, more content of us, please let us know. If there's stuff that you want to hear on the podcast or segments, maybe mini episodes you'd like to hear dropped every so often, let us know. We're really trying to, you know, give you the content that you want.
Yeah. Please tell me where pickleball came from, because I'm dying to know.
Is it the dog or is it Joan?
Yes.
And I just want to start gearing everybody up and getting ready. Pride Month is coming, so you might potentially see us at certain Pride events in the New England area.
Absolutely.
Feel free. Come up. Take a picture.
Talk with us.
Yeah. Have fun. You know that we're fucking insane. So.
Exactly.
We want to meet you. We want to have a good time. But till then, I'm going to say good night.
I'm going to say follow us on our socials, Blue Sky at APOC and Avocados, and same on Snapchat.
And follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Apocalypse and Avocados. And leave us any comments or DMs or any kind of feedback on things you want to hear or what you're enjoying so far.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Apocalypse and Avocados. If you laughed, cringed, or yelled same at any point, do us a favor. Hit follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never have to miss an episode. If you really want to make our day, share this episode with a friend, or three, who needs some chaos and avocado energy in their life. Don't forget to follow us on socials for behind-the-scenes rants, memes, and questionable life advice. You'll find us everywhere at Apocalypse and Avocados. Seriously, your support keeps us going and might even save us from being replaced by podcasting robots. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.